Good morning. Firstly, today's share is dedicated by Mr. Gittleson on his mother's yurt site. The name is Chaya Devora Bas Gershon, Shama Shavin Aliyah.
Amen.
I think Mr. Lichtman sent this out with the email. I guess I probably should begin today's share with a postscript to last week's share. Last week's share, we talked all about distractions during davening and how halacha dictates a person has to be focused on davening and has to be careful of the things that he holds in his pocket, for sure, the things he holds in his hand that might distract him during davening. And I hope I modeled last week the correct balance when it comes to answering distractions. At the end of share, it was seen, people were asking me different questions. At a certain point, it seems I missed a couple of calls, but I got a text from my wife that we have to go to the hospital. Baruch Hashem, we were supposed to have a baby girl last Sunday. We named her Bracha Henna.
Should have named her Shira.
Kind of Kanievsky, I'm not sure what he holds up. Shira, but yeah, very nice. And luckily, I took the call, you know. So everything in life is a balance.
But she waited until after the shear to call you.
That's the rumors they say. But
the pains were three psukim apart.
So everything in life, I guess, is a balance. You have to be careful, know how to weigh it. There are some calls you can't turn down. This week's share, I want to focus on, actually, is to start off for two reasons. I want to talk about the halachas of visiting the Kosel. We know the whole Indian of Eretz Yisrael is paramount this past week's parsha, Parsha Shalach, and the sin of the Meraglim is something which forever Klal Yisrael has been suffering from, and the importance of appreciating Eretz Yisrael, appreciating Yerushalayim, appreciating the Kosel, are all things that we have to take to heart. Additionally, it was on my mind because Baruch Hashem, the Beis Medrash, has a schus this year. We're going to for Summersman to Eretz Yisrael, leaving right away, obviously, but I hope as Hashem to go later. And there are many halachas which Baruch Hashem we have in visiting the Kosel. Now you think about it, the opportunity that exists in our days to just get on the plane and visit the Kosel is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Now, it's not easy. Traveling is not easy. It's an expense, you know. But the fact that we have the opportunity does exist. You know, I think every the most common prize in any good Jewish raffle, talked about raffles in the past, is tickets to Eretz Yisrael. That's always Baruch Hashem, still a top seller in any raffle, any sweepstakes somebody has, tickets to Eretz Yisrael. Something we all look forward to, have the opportunity, the time, the chance to go. And when we talk about the Kosel, we talk about a place. It's the closest place we have today, Hashras HaShechina. It's a place where so many tears have been shed. Place of davening. The wailing wall is a term that's used. It's really twofold. People daven by the Kosel, but at the same time, now, the fact that we have a korban, the fact that we're still in Golos, is something which pains the Kodesh Baruch Hu too. Two sets of tears. And it's a place which we could all identify with. It's a place Jews from all stripes and colors could connect to. How many lives have forever been changed? Tap on the shoulder by the Kosel, a person being inspired by the Kosel. Invited for a Shabbos meal by the Kosel. It's just such a place. Simply, there's no other place on earth that connects Jewish people so much. And this morning, what I'd like to do is explore some halachic factors of the Kol Sof. First and foremost, we'll go through the halachas of tearing kriya at the Kol Sof. I'd like to touch on the halachas of panim before they get it, right? Of touching the wall of the Kol Sof, of halachas associated with the Kol Sof Plaza, and other things with the person's visit to the Kol Sof. Now, really, the first halacha about tearing kriya on the Kol Sof, we'll go through the makaros of it, but really, it's something which is connected also to this week's parsha. This week's parsha, you have that when Yeshua and Kalev heard the report that the Meraglim gave, the Torah recounts that they tore the clothes. Times of Yeshua and Kalev, the expression, see in a moment, of a horrible thing that happened, is something which causes a person to an expression of mourning, of sadness, is tearing the clothes. I saw one of the shuls had a parsha quiz. When's the other time the Torah mentions about tearing clothes? So I'll tell you the answer. When the Shvatim found out that Binyamin was the one they had in his bag, the coast of Paro, it says the Shvatim went and tore their clothing. So multiple times you see in Tanakh the tearing clothing, the expression of mourning of sadness. And therefore, it's not just something made up. At some point, it's all way, way back. The idea of tearing kriya is something, is a Jewish expression of sadness and mourning. And the makor where it's spelled out is a Gemara in Moed Katan. The Gemara, L'chavav, states, in Tanu Rabbanan, the Elu Karim Sheimis Achim. These are the people that tear and they don't fix it. Hakareo Avival Imo. Person, fortunately, gets the news that his father or mother passed away, different than other Krovim. The Al Rabo Shalom Do Torah, a Rebbe Movak that taught him Torah. The Al Nasi, the Al Bezdin. The Al Shmuos Rose, and on bad news, perhaps that was the reason why the Shvatim tore Kriya on the Shmuel Ra, that was Binyamin, they found the Kosin. Val Birchas Hashem, that means someone cursing Hashem, Achil Hashem, and I saw the Mepharshim on this week's Parsha say that was the reason why Kalev and Yoshua tore their clothing when they heard the Meraglim's report about Eretz Yisrael, because they felt that was Achil Hashem on the highest of levels, which warranted this response. The Al Sefer Torah Shenisra, Chas V'Shalom, a Sefer Torah that gets burnt. The Ari Yehuda, the Al Mikdash, the Al Yusharayim. These three things we're going to explore on Ari Yehuda, on the Beis HaMikdash, and on Yerushalayim. The Kore Al Mikdash, and you would tear on seeing the Makom HaMikdash. Umosif Al Yerushalayim. And you would add to that tear when you see Yerushalayim. Now, this Gemara is brought lahalacha on the Shulchan Aruch. That's the second Maor Malkum here in the sheets. And today's share we entitled Visiting the Kol Sof, because that makes it a little bit easier. The first halacha, Aleph, talks about seeing Ari Yehuda. Modern poskim have machlokes in what are considered Ari Yehuda, Jewish cities. And most poskim say we don't tear on sites which might be considered part of Ari Yehuda or not. Halacha Beis starts off, and really the Gemara, I only brought you the beginning of the Gemara. The later Gemara really spells out these halachas. So let's start from Beis inside the Shulchan Aruch. Harola Yerushalayim b'charbana. Someone sees Yerushalayim in its desolation. Omar, Tzion Ha'isha Midbar Shmama. Right, this really, the Gemara later spells out, they quote, you say these psukim, and you do Kriya. I saw in the Farshan point out, the reason why you need these psukim is also to focus the person. I would say it's a musr. You see this pasuk, now you see the depiction of this pasuk. You see the desolation of Yerushalayim, and you would tear Kriya. Because you wrote Beis HaMikdash, Omer. Beis Kratshenu V'tfarteinu. Our holy house, our glory. Asher Elucha Bo'avoseinu. That our forefathers praised about. Hayu Sreifas Eish. Was burnt down. B'chol Machmadeinu Oyu L'charva. And all our treasures, right, are taken away. Right. The halacha doesn't bring down, tearing Kriya for someone who visit Rome and see the Arch of Titus. Right? That's also something. You see them the depiction of the rope carrying away our menorah. But definitely when you see Yerushalayim, you see the Makom HaMikdash. Now, this is a halacha which is black and white here in the Shulchan Aruch. Tavkuf Samach Aleph says you go to the Beis HaMikdash, you go to Makom HaMikdash, and you should tear Kriya. In going through this sugya, looking up this halacha, it's quite interesting. Many of the modern poskim deal with the fact that many people do not tear Kriya. And like many things in halacha, the poskim react to what we call the minhagim, or the status quo of what's going on. Sometimes you'll find poskim that will write a whole perush to the miyashiv amina, but sometimes not. In this particular situation, I found from Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zetzal, Rav Yalshav Zetzal, Rav Adi Yosef, they all do not look to defend the practice of not tearing Kriya. They all think it's something that should be done, even in our times, 2017, here, person who goes to Eretz Yisrael, who sees, I'm talking specifically now, about the Makom HaMikdash, which will define exactly what that means. But someone who goes to Eretz Yisrael, goes to the Kol Sel, practically speaking, the Gedolei Poskim say that one should tear Kriya. And I'm going to go through perhaps some of the reasons or ideas people don't, and we'll address that. Now, nowadays, really, you have two sets of people visiting the Kol Sel. You have the tourists, the visitors, who don't live in Eretz Yisrael, don't live in Yerushalayim, who are coming to the Kol Sel. And that's, first and foremost, who we're talking about, because we're giving a share. We're those type of people. And that, Rav Moshe, Rav Yalshav, Rav Avadi Yosef, they all say, practically, people like us should tear Kriya. In fact, I heard a story of a woman in Rebbetzin who went to the Kol Sel the first time in 1967 after the schus of getting it back. And she went there as a younger person. It's 50 years later. She's an older lady. She visited somebody's house and she was telling over in one Shabbos meal the emotions she had, chance to visit the Kol Sel. She saved Ad Hayom. She has the shirt that she wore when she went to the Kol Sel. She tore Kriya on. Its significance has meaning in her life. It's not just something, it costs the shirt. There's a price tag to it. No one says it has to be a brand new shirt, it can be an older shirt. But we'll get to the practical office too. But it's something which has meaning. Here this woman is looking back 50 years later, that's something I treasure. Lahavdil. Nowadays people could buy game-worn jerseys of sports players. They hang up on their wall. Here it's something, Baruch Hashem, I discuss of visiting Eretz Yisrael, the discuss of visiting the Kol Sel, and it's a memento. I tore Kriya. Perhaps it's a bittersweet memento. But something that Poskim say we should do. Now, those who live in Yerushalayim is a different shaila, because they do live in Yerushalayim, and they're around. We'll see in a moment, the chiyuv of tearing kriya is really something if you don't see the kolsa once in 30 days. But what about people who live in Yerushalayim? So that's a different shaila. If you look on your sheets, I brought the Shari Tshuva, in the page of the Mishnah Berurah, page of the Shulchan Aruch. He brings an Os Beis, the Kasava Radvaz. Hadar b'Yushalayim v'avur lov lamed yom, shalom ra beis hamikdash, chay v'lekra. Radvaz writes, if you're there for 30 days and you didn't go to the Makom HaMikdash, you didn't go to the Kosel, then you would have to tear Kriya. Ach lo ziru b'zeh. People are not nizer about this. This is written quite a while back. The Shari Tshuva said practically people weren't keeping this. He writes, Birkei Yosef, Kosev Gamkein Shlom Nagulkein. So there was already a minhag in Yerushalayim going back. People who lived in Eretz Yisrael, even if they weren't in the Kosev for 30 days, they wouldn't tear Kriya. Also, this is something which is not easy to explain. I saw Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes a lot about it. He himself said, look, if you live in Yerushalayim, you have the opportunity, even in Eretz Yisrael, you have the opportunity to go to the Kosel. Once in 30 days, you can't make it there. He said, practically speaking, a person should try, and he himself did this, he modeled it. He went to the Kosel every 30 days. And the Mela, the Halakha, never applied to him, because he was always by the Kosel, always davening by the Kosel. He even writes, it's in print, so I could say it over, pretty sharp words. It's trying to explain the minhag, why people in Eretz Yisrael, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, if they didn't go in 30 days, why didn't they hear Kriya? His sharp response is, well, if you're living in Eretz Yisrael and you haven't been to the Kosel in 30 days, perhaps a person like that doesn't really appreciate, doesn't feel the pain of what's going on over here. Maybe a person like that, Taka, shouldn't tear Kriya. Sharp words, but a strong message that the Kosel is something, you have the opportunity to go, a person should try to go. Obviously, you know, people live busy lives, and Chas HaShalom, we're not judging anybody in Eretz Yisrael. But Shlomo Zalman was strong on, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, more specifically, if you live in Yerushalayim, how can you not visit the Kosel once in 30 days? But what is it? Why don't people tear Kriya? So it's a very interesting halachic idea people came up with. I actually brought it, it's in print in a couple of places I found, of Sternbach, lives in Eretz Yisrael. He calls them Fishamati in the back of your pages, Hosei. Fishamati Mischachamin. I heard about some quote unquote smart people. What do they do? Why don't they tear Kriya? A great trick, halachic trick. Before they go anywhere near the Kosel, anywhere there's some place that they would tear Kriya, it's a very yeshivish thing, I've heard people doing this, is a guy goes with his friend and says, you know what? How about we trade our clothes with each other? I'm here. Take this handkerchief, take this pen. Let's do a kid and suitor. I'm going to swap. So I'm going to own your clothes and you're going to own my clothes. We're going to be wearing each other's clothes. So I can't tear your clothing. The halakha of doing kriya doesn't override hilchos mazik. Somebody would tear someone else's shirt. You're a mazik. You can't do this. Asik to do. So if we swap clothing with each other, brilliant chav. Jewish mind can think of anything.
Trust.
Right? We'll make a kinyan. We'll mamash do all the valid kinyanim. We'll make a kinyan. We'll swap clothes.
Not make a kinyan. You make a kinyan then.
as matana. In other words, I'm still wearing it. Well, make it talks about the kinyan as matana. But now this is I'm wearing yours, you're wearing mine. We're supposed to have it, whatever that means.
That'd be the same song.
And the Nela. How lucky you are. What a friend. Your friend buys you the perfect shirt. So I saw Rav Sternbach as well as Rav Agio Seif both say this is not a valid way to exempt oneself from the Kosel, tearing Kriya the Kosel. Why not? So Sternbach here spells it out. The halachas of Kinyanin are not simple things. Right? I'll give you another example. Someone told me, I heard a story of a woman tells her Rav, you know, my husband's not coming to you this year to sell the chametz. Why not? Oh, you know, Baruch Hashem, we have, this year we hired an in-house maid, and she's my house all the time, so we're just going to sell her all chametz. Make it easier, she can eat her chametz then on Pesach in our house, you know. A woman did not realize what in the world she was getting herself into. There's a reason why people go to Rabbanan to sell their chametz. You can't just find your co-worker or your maid who happens to be a Gentile to sell them the chametz. It's a complicated process, not poshut. You definitely don't want them eating their chametz or your chametz in your house on Pesach. You deal with major yisurim. And these are not the type of kinyanim which we normally say you should try at home. Similarly over here, Sternberg rails against, in what sense did you do any type of kinyan? Did you really do anything? If the whole purpose of it, there really is no other nafkamina, right? Where the person, right? If this is really my friend's shirt, you know, I want to take off a few buttons over here. Let's change it around a little bit. Who are you kidding? It's really your shirt. It's not his shirt. So the post can therefore say this is not a valid way to get out of making a kit of doing Kriya. Yes, Rebbe.
So if they actually went to the bathroom and swapped shirts, then it worked.
If they actually went and switched shirts, right, that might be better. Yeah. But, you know, it could be Rav Sternbach would still be, Rav Sternbach's taina against it is, he quotes a Gemara in the Nedarim. You read three lines from the bottom of that paragraph. Okay, I went to the bathroom and we swapped shirts. But if I wanted to, could I be Makdish, this shirt?
It's not mine, it's his shirt. I can't, because the whole tonight the guy made, is I'm lending you the shirt, I'll tonight decree on it. So it's not your shirt, it's Bacha, it's his shirt, it's on my back. I'm wearing his shirt.
If you rent the shirt, you cannot rent the shirt.
Not bad.
All
right? He calls this still a trick, right? You would think that's still a trick. It definitely sounds something, yes. Oh. I'm a ton of Manasseh Hoxer. There, what are you doing with the love? It's about Tanu L'Manas L'Hachzer, so I could be Yotze, the Din of Lachem, to have this little love. Could be there, it's a little bit better, because there, the whole essence of you're not using this palm branch for anything other than the mitzvah. So that is what the mitzvah is used for. A shirt is a shirt. It's not only something used for something else, so the whole thing is a trick.
Is it more of
a
issue
that
you're
hashing
here?
Was very
rough to say that. The next time.
I'll get to that. Hold on. Good point. So this is not something which is ideal. You never know. People can have certain circumstances, extenuating circumstances. Maybe they would find someone who would recommend this, but it seems the postcom in print are against such a form of getting out of it. Now, I'll start with legitimate situations where a person does not have to tear Kriya. The most simple situation where a person does not have to tear kriya, and this is undisputed, there's only one case, everything else I found is all machlokas. But the one case which is undisputed that you're visiting the Kol Sof for the first time in 30 days and you don't have to tear kriya is
Shabbos.
Obviously, there is a halacha here from the Gemara to tear kriya, but the same way it doesn't override the halacha of an isser to be mazik somebody, Kol Shekein, it does not override the isser of Shabbos. One cannot tear on Shabbos kriya. And therefore, on Shabbos, everyone would say you did not have to tear kriya. I did track down, it's not easy, Shlomo Zalman Orbach. I found him talk about this topic in four different spots in the Sfarim. So one of the spots I tracked down, he actually has a piece there where he wonders out loud in print whether one should visit the Kol Sof for the first time on Shabbos. Because granted, it's true, you don't tear kriya, but it's something, like we said, is bittersweet. Obviously, it's a big schus to daven by the Kol Sof, and the chance, this is probably the event that a person is looking forward to on his trip to Eretz Yisrael. He flies in, he lands Friday morning, and what could be better than going Friday night to the Kol Sof? But at the same time, Shlomo Zalman wonders, but you're experiencing a certain tsar. You're putting yourself in a situation which, as we'll define in a moment, maybe a little more specifically, seeing the Kol Sof, seeing the Makom HaMikdash in what it is something of Agmas Nefesh. It's painful. And to subject oneself to that on Shabbos, maybe it's not right. He's not sure. He leaves off that piece of Tzarek in.
Wouldn't that apply to anybody going to the Kotel on Shabbos?
Oh, in by any situation.
Yeah.
Very good point. Very good point. Now we'll have to see really what this gets involved with. If you went to the Kol Sof within 30 days, and now I'm going back. So the halacha is, in such a case, you don't tear kriya. Now, we'll talk about in a moment why not. So one answer, well, the simple pshat might be, well, the first time in 30 days you go there, that's when you experience this agnus nefesh. But post that, maybe you don't experience that agnus nefesh to the same degree. Very good point.
Glad you came.
Huh?
And the trick to go the first time on Shabbos and then after you go
to... So we'll get to that case. Excellent. We'll get to that case. Hold on. But before we get to the two cases just brought up, so on Shabbos, everybody says, Kolei Alma, that's the one case, you do not tear kriya. Shlomo Zalman wonders whether that's something that a person should do. Practically speaking, you know, people have schedules and this. You know, Shlomo Zalman, it's not, you know, no one else brings this down, and Shlomo Zalman, even Shlomo Zalman brings this as a tzarachian. You know, a person could visit the Kol Sof. Another point, another time, which the post can talk about, is Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif. That post can talk about, if you visit for the first time on the Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, they do use a Lashon after Chatzos. There are some, Rav Moshe Feinstein is one of them, who say one would not hear Kriya if they visit Friday afternoon, or, right, I'm trying to remember myself, first time we went to yeshiva, which probably remember. For Ella, you remember.
On Motzei Shabbos, you don't know, Rabbi?
Huh?
On a Motzei Shabbos?
I'll get to that. Hold on. Yeah. So, Erev Shabbos, definitely after Chatzos, the Erev Yontif, the post can bring down that we do not tear. Rav Moshe elaborates and says perhaps the reason is that being the fact, like was mentioned, there's a certain tsar, an agmas nefesh, involved in seeing the Kol Sof. So we don't want that to extend into Shabbos. Now, Rav Moshe doesn't spell out, what about, should therefore I not visit the Kol Sof for the first time on Shabbos? But in a certain sense, his explanation, as I'm saying it, it's hitting me. Like, we're nervous even on Erev Shabbos for that tsar to extend into Shabbos. And in the Ramosha it sounds like a kol shekein, a kal v'chomer, that on Shabbos also, like, there's a certain tzar. But even that, Ramosha is not sure about.
What about using the kavanah of Rabbi Akiva?
That my whole... interesting. Very good point. We'll get to that. Excellent point. So, Ramosha says, and others, that if you go in Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, you would not tear. However, there are poskim, amongst them Rabbi Yosef and the Chazon Ish, would say even in those situations, Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif, one would tear kriya. There are those that talk about, what about Motzi Shabbos? It was mentioned before. And some extent, really any day you don't say Tachna. I saw, actually, you know, it's a good joke, but you go to some Hasidic shtibbles every other day, right? Don't say Tachna. So I saw in print, the Gera Rebbe asked this Shaila to Rav Shlomo Zalman. If I go to the Kosel on a day which we don't say Tachna, do I not tear Kriya? Now, it doesn't say that Rav Shlomo Zalman only answered him back because he was a Hasidic Rebbe. But Rav Shlomo Zalman said, no, there is no p'tur in such a situation just because it's a day you don't say Tachlan for Motzei Shabbos or for another such day. Rav Shlomo Zalman would think, even in such a case, one would perhaps tear Kriya. Now, so far, we've talked about going on Shabbos, going on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, Motzei Shabbos, days which you don't say Tachlan, Chol Moed, it seems people would say that you would not. That I did see brought down more clear. But here's a very interesting scenario. Okay? So, we said if you go to the Kol Sel, we wish to actually see that halacha inside. If you look in halacha hey, back on the first side of it, side of your sheets. Hayaholachu ba Yerushalayim holachu ba toch shloshim yom ina korea kara acher. Within 30 days you don't tear. Timo arka shloshim yom chozu v'korea. But if you haven't visited in 30 days, then you would go and tear. He says we're not just talking about Yerushalayim. They add v'adim ba'ar Yehuda v'mikdash. So the time span for tearing kriya is 30 days. So definitely, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Erev Yom Tov, all these things count on the clock for 30 days. So anytime you visit, that counts on the clock, and you have 30 days to your next visit. If you didn't see it, then there would be a chiyuv of kriya. The Shabbos is the following. What happens in the following scenario? You haven't been to the Kol Sel in 30 days. Right? So what would that dictate? So the first time you go, you chayv in kriya. Let's say the first time you go is on a Shabbos. What happens now? Does the next time I go, do I tear kriya or not? Again, we go over the case, it's a little complicated. You haven't been to the Kol Sel in 30 days. So that means you have a chiyuv of doing kriya. The next time I go is a day which I don't tear kriya. It's Shabbos. It's Yom Tov. The next time I go, let's say which is in 30 days, so it's not a new chiyuv. The next time I go, do I tear kriya or not? So this is a very interesting machlokas that I found in the poskim. Rav Moshe Feinstein clearly writes that the next time you would have to tear kriya. When you went on Shabbos, you were potter. But you didn't do it. You had a chiyuv. That has nothing to do with your original chiyuv. And therefore, the next time you would go, you would tear kriya. There are other poskim, the Elshad or Shlomo Zalman, they say no. As long as you went, and you were there 30 days. That day was a day that you couldn't tear kriya. Okay? So you didn't tear kriya. But Now the clock restarts. So the next time you go, as long as it's within 30 days of that last time you went, you would not have to tear kriya. Very interesting machlokas. Yes?
Yes, you could apply that same to a person went during the weekday and just didn't tear for whatever reason and he goes back.
Very interesting point. They talk about this, and we'll get to that. That really, the only time a person could tear kriya, Rav Moshe writes this also beferish, is when you're in front of the wall. You were by the wall. You forgot. You didn't tear kriya. Now you're back home in your hotel room or by your relatives. You can't tear kriya then. It's only when you're in front of it.
When you see it, or when you're in front of it, when you see it?
So I'll get to the specifics. I'll get to the specifics. Simple answer to be when you see it. Yes.
So if it's less than 30 days and you go on a Shabbos, do you restart the clock, or does it not count for your 30 days?
No, that would. That would. Less than 30 days. Any Shabbos is a visit. The question here is, when you had a chiv in that, is it pater, does it not pater? So we'll get to it. But hold on. I found Rav Yalshav brings a very interesting thing. This, I'm sorry for making you go back and forth. It's on the back of your sheets. Ozvav. Less hand-eye coordination of video games. Flip of the wrist. Well, he also quotes the Sefer HaKodesh HaMikdash, who spells out, and really this language I found in other poskim too. Why is it, let's say you visit on Shabbos, why don't they all, okay, I can't tear on Shabbos, but let me tear on Motzi Shabbos a little bit later. Okay. I assume he's not talking now. Part of the issue really is, okay, well, are you in front of, according to Moshe, are you in front of the Kolsar or not? But let's say a person, really, they talk about the case. You stay there. You stay there from Shabbos into Motzi Shabbos. You hold there. So they use the language that the only time there is a chiyuv of tearing is b'shas chimam, which is a term used in Hilchos Avelos, that a person tears kriya at the time he's heated, when their motions are raging. That's the point in time when Chazal say a person should tear kriya. So similarly they say, look, when you visit the Kosel on Shabbos, if that's a time you see it, your emotions are raging, so that's the time you should tear kriya. Obviously on Shabbos you can't. So to do it any point later, it dimmed already. It's not the same emotions that are running through a person's veins. Rav Yalshav though writes, fascinating idea. He writes Vikasha, the second paragraph. Da'achiv kriya al-riyas ha-kosa amaravi eina ela mishum ri'iya v'lo mishum chima. Even though this is a halacha which is brought down from the Gemara Moed Katan, in the same breath they're talking about tearing kriya for avelos of father and mother. And there the guidelines are shas chima, is when the emotions are raging. But Rav Yalshav understands that the nature of this din is not based on those emotions. Rather, it's just simple, just on seeing the kolsa. He wants to bring a proof. Ra'u shloshim yom chayv l'kroa. If you didn't see him within 30 days, it's still chayv to read, to tear. Ve'efshesh yikra eser pamim b'shana. You could end up, you're in Eretz Yisrael, you could end up having to tear kriya 10 times a year. Nevertheless, Chazal say you have to tear. Very, very interesting. Rav Yalshav says the guidelines for this mitzvah, this din, is not based on emotions. Right? This is what we call the classic Ashkenazic litvisha, cold heart. That's halacha. He says, or Yalshav's understanding is, look, you have some people who are emotional, some people who are not emotional. That's what's not going on over here in tearing kriya by the kolsa. You see the kol cell, that's machayv kriya. It's not a dinin shaschimim, not a shaschimim. That's not what we judge here. Perhaps such an interesting perspective of Yosef would change things we talked about going to the kol cell for the first time on Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. The ideas of, according to Rabbi Yosef, different than obviously these other opinions. When we're tearing Kriya, that's not a sign that it's all about our tsar and our Agmas Nefesh and our pain. May not be. Especially today, right? People go to the Kosovo, they have wonderful feelings there. Look how many Jews are able to go there. We aren't able to be there. It's irrelevant of whether you're in pain in Agmas Nefesh or not. But Maisa, there's the Chazal set up a din. They have to chayiv kriya when you see the kosel, and it's not based on the person's feelings, emotions. It's a chayiv. Very, very interesting.
I would think tearing the kriya shouldn't be when you see the kotel, which was just a retaining wall for an expansion, but when you see the heart.
So we'll talk about that in a moment.
Rabbi.
Yes.
Today, when we go to Eretz Yisrael Yerushalayim, we're so desensitized to so many things. We see the kosel, we think it was a great thing of inspiration. We're so glad to be on holiday, we're drinking our Starbucks coffee, and we're at the kosel of Kodesh. And, you know, l'habdil, you go to Greek, you see the pyramid, or ancient ruins of this. It's an inspiration, not a downer. You see this thing, and we're inspired.
So I'm not sure that's a bad feeling. Perhaps people should have multiple things. We'll get to that in a moment. But just to summarize where we got up to, and then I'll get to the practical halachas. Hold on 1 second. Is we've gone through multiple halachas. The poskim do say from across the board that one should tear kriya. Pottering oneself, exempting oneself with these tricks of swapping shirts, trading shirts, not something which is ideal. People who live in Yerushalayim themselves have their own situation about visiting the Kosel, do they tear Kriya or not? For sure, on Shabbos, one doesn't tear Kriya. Should one go on Shabbos for the first time, or Shlomo Zalman talked about? Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif are things which is a machlokas there too. But there you will find some poskim amongst them, or Moshe, who say one does not. And we brought about the issue of a person who hasn't been there for 30 days but then goes up on Shabbos, the machlok is over there. But really, this perspective that I found here in Rabbi Yosef Sefer on Moed Katan is an interesting perspective. And is the reason I'm tearing Kriya similar fully to what you have by Avelos, by a father and mother, that there's a din of Shas Chimum when the emotions are running high? Or Rabbi Yosef's perspective, no. It's just the din in saying the kosel. And like people mentioned today, that may not be the forefront emotion that I have in my mind, in my heart, when I see the kosel, that I'm in pain, I'm put for care, and I'm very happy in this. Lafa Pekin is such a din. Now, practically speaking, I want to go through some of the halachas and then to tackle some other issues when you get to the kosel. I see there's a lot of good questions. We'll try to, hopefully in the share, we'll answer some of them. If not, this week, my wife's not going into labor, so I hope to be around for questions. Now, practical halachas of Kriya, right? Hopefully we shall all have the chance to go to Eretz Yisrael and put this into practice. So go back to the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Dalet. There are multiple halachas you have to know. Right? Maybe the guys from Base Medrash take these marmukkim and fold it up and put it in their pockets. The first, the Shulchan Aruch writes, called Kroa Me'elu Biyado. Ideally, you have to do this with your hand. Mishabura spells out over there, Relobic Kli, not with the Kli. Now, what that means is you could tear originally with the Kli, but then take your hand and rip the rest. It also has to be, number two, umad. Person should be standing when he does this. You're doing an important act. Thirdly, the He writes, "V'koloko kisuso sha'olav, you tear your entire clothing upon you, achigalas libo, till you reveal your heart." Now, it's interesting. From the language over here, it seems to define how much do you have to tear. So, here the Shulchan Aruch says you have to megalas libo. You have to go, it should be on the left side, and Mishnah Berurah points it out because that's where a person's heart is. But you quote unquote have to reveal your heart. Seems like a decent sized tear. Earlier in Sif Beis, if you look about, it's about the fifth line in the Shulchan Aruch, he writes, V'chol kriya tefach. The mount you have to tear is a tefach, 2 inches, 4 inches. Huh, four? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger in the Shulchan Aruch is bothered by what exactly is the formula? Is it on the left side up until your heart? Or is it only, or is it 4 inches? Right. So it's not clear.
Are these the same halachas for Avelis?
I don't want to go through all halachas of Avelis.
No.
Yeah.
Just above the heart. So tefach ends up right. Being down. So they usually start somewhere over here and move across, and then they break downwards.
Right.
So it's not, it ends up being that you're starting not at the top, you're starting at tefach above the heart.
If they're starting at tefach above it, and they go up into the heart. That, right. That sounds like they do both shittas.
That's good practice.
Right.
They tear sideways.
Now, I'll tell you, there's an interesting step. There's an interesting step. Yes.
In regards to tearing, is it the same or don't you know?
I don't want to talk about those halachas today.
Just in regards to tearing.
Hold on. Even in regards to tearing.
Obviously not.
Now. Unfortunately, Rabbi Sharfman doesn't have a share on this online. But fortunately, I was able to speak to Rabbi Sharfman. Took the last year, he went with the 12th grade to Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, having Rabbi Sharfman on a trip to Eretz Yisrael, people tell me he was such a wealth of knowledge. He's the best tour guide you'd ever find. He knows every chazal, every this and that, just going around. That's quite a tour. But besides all the knowledge and touring, he went through the halachas with them. It's interesting. Sharfman told the boys, when they go to tear kriya, they should take off their jackets, and then to tear kriya on their shirt.
Otherwise,
what's the reason? Because otherwise, it's sad, right? To tear your jacket. Now it's interesting. I did see the poskim say you don't have to do both necessarily. I did see some postman would say that. But it could be the first thing you would have to tear is your jacket. Either way. So Sharfman advised people not to get into any problems. If you're wearing a jacket, take off your jacket. And this way, you'll do kriya on your shirt.
You put it back on afterwards?
Yes. Right? Now, really, also, this is important, we'll get to that. Once we're up to the practical halachas, once you do your kriya, you are allowed even to change your shirt. People are not necessarily comfortable walking around all day with a torn shirt, even though hopefully some people realize why you have it. If you're there by the coastal and this, but they want to take it off. Yes.
So if you tear your take off your jacket and tear your shirt, you also have to tear it on your shirt?
No. It'll just be your shirt. That's what we say, the one bagged on top. Just one shirt.
You repair it. No, that's as opposed to tear it for parents.
Well,
you can't repair
it. Well, the way the Gemara said it is they group those two together. But, yes?
I never thought if it was correct or not, but now's the time to ask.
Sure.
When we, our family goes, everybody puts on top of their shirt, a Kriya shirt, that
right.
They don't mind being
right,
correct.
Right.
Is that okay?
Perfect.
I'm surprised
perfect.
Nobody is selling Kriya shirts.
With the dotted line.
I think we found the good business.
Perforated.
Yes.
easy tear.
On Shabbos, not everyone is able to walk. So if a person is going early Shabbos, they can be wearing the Shabbos begadim, and they don't want to tear that.
Right. So that's a perfect example. Really, we talked about before that remote that there are poskim that will say, Shlomo Zalman and others, that an Erev Shabbos, or Moshe would say, that you would not tear. So that might be the thing. Not bad. One additional halacha when the person tears, the Mishnah Berurah brings this down in Sifkatan Vav. He writes, so you're going to say the psukim. Ideally, when you do the Kriya, you're supposed to focus yourself and say these psukim the Gemara brings down, which the Shulchan Aruch brings down. And you're supposed to recite Baruch Dayan HaEmes. Not with Shema Malchus, Mishnah Berurah says, but say Baruch Dayan HaEmes and then tear. Now, these are all the halachas about Kriya. There's an interesting halacha, which I found in the Mishnah Berurah, which might change some people's travel patterns. Could be, you know, a person has their first hour in Yerushalayim plan. I'm going to go straight from Ben-Gurion, straight to the Kosel. After that, I'll go to Cafe Rimon or some nice restaurant. Mishnah Berurah brings down an interesting halacha. He says, this is in Sifkatan Dalet, Harol Yerushalayim. Yeshakasfu, Shemistavra, Sheyom Sheroa, Adam Tchilo Yerushalayim Bechorbana. First day you see Yerushalayim in its destruction. Sheyosar Osar Ayom Kulo Bebasar Vayayim. That first day shouldn't be a day you go out to a restaurant, you have Basar Vayayim, right? Right? Basar is Vatasha of Yayim. At Cafe Rimon, you can for sure get wine. But he says, ideally, such a day, there's a certain element, Mr. Bruce seems like he's going with, of Agmas Nefesh involved. And this is a proper additional behavior, besides tearing Kriya. But Yeshik Asfu, again, you might have family, your relatives pick you up and they say, we're going out to this restaurant. You don't have much chance to object. It's a Yeshik Asfu. But it's an idea. Like we say many times, halacha many times reveals with it hashkafa. And this is something the Mishnah Berurah brings. Now, many people talk about, can I touch the kosel? And there are different shitas about it. I found many poskim do allow, do permit, and Shlomo Zalman testifies, this is the common minhag in Yerushalayim, is people do allow themselves to touch the kosel, and do that, no. Kiss it. There are definitely our poskim that talk about that, that is allowed. Another halacha, which is very interesting. What about the whole kosa? You know, does that have a din of a shul? There are many halachas, simanim and shulchan aruch, the halachas of what a person can and cannot do in a shul. What is the din of the kosel? Is the kosel, look, it's Srid Beis Mikdashenu, remnants of our Beis HaMikdash, it's not a shul. Or do we say, no, it has a din of a shul, and whenever it applies in a shul, certainly would apply by the kosel also. So I found in print, Rabbi Avadi Yosef writes that 100% today, a kosel has a full din of a shul. And therefore, he says, it has major other halachos, not the minas, in our behavior there. He says you can't just use the kosel as a prop, as a background for pictures. Sometimes you might find people doing. You could go to the kosel, you could also take a picture, you could daven by the kosel. You also take a picture, that's. But to use it just as a prop, as a background, one shouldn't do. He talks about smoking there. I saw Rabbi Sharfman once gave a share about bringing guns into a shul. Ravaji Yosef recommends that a soldier hide his gun when he goes to the kosel because it has a din of a shul. I saw people talk about where exactly, how, assuming the kosel does have a din of a shul, how far does that go? Is it the whole plaza? It's tricky because the halachos, they talk about rechovo shel ir. We don't, the whole kosel is not usually used But there are times during the year, Tisha B'Av, Birchas Kohanim, the entire plaza is all filled up. The meal that becomes part of a shul. Be careful over there. There's shalos about eating over there. It's a shul. You can't just go and eat over there. I remember in the issue, I had this supposed to go a few years ago in 12th grade. So they were going on a tour of the coast, so they figured they'll grab some rugelach and eat breakfast over there. Not sure. That's how far back. So hold on. And one other interesting thing I came across. You know, any good picture you see of the coastal, definitely the paintings, you'll see tons of grass coming out of the coastal. Now, not sure there's that, you know, you look, some of these pictures are exaggerated, how much grass exactly is coming out. But it's an interesting thing. It might have changed over time. Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, who lived in Eretz Yisrael in the first Yish of years and years ago, he dictated the policy that one should not cut the grass coming out of the coastal. And it probably did build up quite a bit. Seems very interestingly, this is actually brought, I believe, in Zilberstein's farm, that it got to a point, it was really, the grass was coming out. At some points they had stones falling from the coastal. And they brought in a building inspector, and they realized it was coming from the vegetation that was growing out of the coastal. So they asked the Shaila, should they trim it? And Rabbi Yosef said, absolutely. Now, Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld's idea of why not trim it is because, look, this is the Kosel, this is our remnants of the Beis HaMikdash. There's a certain feeling of sadness we should have, of desolation. What's more desolate than grass growing out of the wall? Rabbi Yosef argued back more recently, perhaps with Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, seeing the Metzias change, would agree too. Rabbi Yosef argued back that practically now the Kosel is the greatest shul in the world. If people coming from all over, all times, davening, there's a din in Kavod Beis HaKnesses. Rabbi Yosef says Dafka should go and trim that. Gives a very interesting perspective, perhaps, of how over time things change. I'd like to end with just one more halacha. Mishnah Berurah brings down about a child. Does a child tear kriya? Bez Hashem, I hope to take my 12-year-old son to see the kosel this summer. So does a child tear kriya? So if you look, it's the last lines of the Mishnah Berurah. He says, "Misha no b'Yerushalayim." Someone has the schos of being born in Yerushalayim. Afil higdol ain't tzarich l'kroa. Could be in situations. Even when he gets older, I'll never have to tear kriya. Did the kaknuso potter? Someone who has the schos of growing up in Yerushalayim. When you're a kot and you're potter, ukshe higdol ain't tzarich l'kroa. Stop, you see from the language of the Mishnah Berurah, he's assuming, look, people live in Yerushalayim are going every 30 days. It could be a kid as a schos of growing up in Yerushalayim today will never tear kriya. Now, why is it when you're a katan, you don't tear kriya? Granted, you don't have a chiyav because you're not a bar mitzvah, but we know, like with any other mitzvah, there's a mitzvah of chinuch. You train your child now for the future. So shouldn't you, als chinuch, teach your child to tear kriya? So I saw the post who say, no. Meheri yibana mikdash. Be'ezus Hashem, this child should have the schos that he'll never see as an adult. Yerushalayim b'chol bana, he'd be zochet to see, and hopefully be'ezus Hashem we should all see. Everything based on Migdash, Yerushalayim will be built. Here we may know.